over into Luke's Gospel, chapter number 4. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 4. I'm glad there are some children that's being raised in the house of God. It's amazing what the access of the house of God will do for your family and for yourself. The last thing the devil wants is you around the preaching of the Word of God. Matter of fact, we see a little about him in Luke 4, Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. That's a good place to be. He returned from Jordan, watch, and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. God knows where you're going. Matter of fact, God knows not only where we're going, but how we're going. And God is still in the leading business. You may be in a wilderness. Let me tell you, God's been leading people in the wilderness a long, long time. He said, being 40 days, he was tempted of the devil. Our temptations most of the time is just hourly. You may be seated this morning. Our temptations many times are just hourly or a few days, but 40 solid days Jesus was tempted of the devil. And the Bible said, in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward, and he hungered. And the devil said, well, the devil's good at talking, isn't he? Matter of fact, the Bible says, and the devil said unto him, he'll talk to you individually. He knows where we all are, what we're about. He knows our situation, and boy, in our situations and in our wilderness experiences, the devil is so good at talking. And so he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God. You know, I've noticed this in the temptations in this wilderness. The devil would love to make you doubt who you are. If thou be the Son of God. You know, every day I don't feel saved. But that don't change the situation that every day since I've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and repented of my sins and turned to Him, I've been saved whether I felt like being saved or not. And I'm glad I'm a child of God. I know in whom I believe. And I am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that glorious day, that homecoming day when we leave all of this wilderness and we go home to be with our Lord. So we find the devil talking. We find the devil tempting. So Jesus answered him and said, it is written. I'm glad there are some things that's written. It'll never be rewritten. You know why? Because it's perfect of what's already been written in the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Every page in your Bible still right today. There's not an error, no place in this King James Bible. Now, if you've got something different than a King James Bible, you've got some errors in it. But I'm glad I've got the Word of God on this desk this morning. And so we see the devil taking him into a high mountain, showed to him all the kingdoms of the world, just in the moment of a time. I want to say something, young people. I wouldn't let a moment of time destroy my life for a lifetime. The moment of time is not worth a lifetime. And so, the devil is tempting Christ. And he took him in just a moment. Matter of fact, it don't take long for the devil to show you all he's got just in a moment. But honey, I've been walking with God over 30 years and I've yet to see, I've yet to experience the things that God has prepared for him, for his children. The devil will give you all he's got up front. And then the crises come. Then the heartaches come. Then the turning his back on you comes. So Jesus said, no devil, there's some things that is written. Then he said in verse 6, the devil said to him, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine. You know, the devil is smart, but here I don't understand the devil's thinking, because Jesus owned everything. The devil had nothing to give to Jesus. And let me tell you, as a child of God, the devil has nothing to give to me or you either. Only heartache and disaster. And so Jesus said, it is written. Then he said this in verse 8. The devil said, I want you to fall down and worship me. That's what that word means, worship. And Jesus answered and said to him, we need to learn what this says. Get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. I don't want you leading me. I got somebody lead me to the promised land, honey. I don't need the devil leading me in my walk of life. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if thou be the Son of God. Boy, he's good at trying to make you doubt who you are and what you are. Cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. In their hands they shall bear thee up. Thank God for angels this morning. I don't worship angels. No place in your Bible does it show us where we're to worship an angel. But I'm going to tell you biblically, if you're saved by the grace of God, God has an angel assigned to you. And I'm glad God's still in the rescuing business. I'm glad God's got forces about us this morning. Even though the devil will pry into our lives and our services, honey, if it wasn't for the grace of God, for he said the angel of the Lord encampeth around about those that fear God, I'm glad there's somebody looking about us this morning. We don't worship angels. We don't worship preachers. We don't worship idols or churches. We worship the precious Son of God that went on Calvary's cross and died for us. Now I want to get to where I need to get this morning. So Jesus answered and said to him, verse 12, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, watch, he departed from him for a season. The devil never gives up. You that are older, that's walking with the Lord, you realize, we know the devil never gives up. But thank God, Brother Lee, we ain't got to give in. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so now, Jesus has just experienced this great wilderness temptation of 40 days and 40 nights. Now, verse 14. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. My goodness, isn't it amazing? Jesus faced the devil 40 days and 40 nights in this great temptation, and he came out with the power of God upon him. That lets me know before the devil gets there, we better have the power of God upon us. And so he came into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the regions thereabout. The story got to getting out. Jesus is different. Jesus is the sent one. And look, he taught in their synagogues and being glorified of all. It came to Nazareth. Now, I want you to get your pens out. I want you to look at something. I don't know if you've ever noticed it or not. I've never preached out of this passage before, for as I know. The Bible said he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went in the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. I think the Bible's worthy to stand for this one. And I want to say I think our flag's worthy to stand for. These morons taking a knee, they ought to boot them in the backside. Amen. You ought to teach your children to respect your Bible and respect your flag. And respect you. I could have seen my dad if I took a knee down at the ball game. He'd get up out of them blazes and say, boy, what you thinking? Booyah! Let me tell you, there's some things worth standing for. So, he stood up to read. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. They didn't have what me and you got. They had a scroll that was in a chest, and this was the book of Isaiah. They unscrolled it and handed it to the Lord, and he stood up to read it. See, we've got a complete Word of God this morning. We don't have to look in things. We don't have to look in signs and wonders. We've got everything the Spirit of God wants us to have with what I'm holding in my hand. That's the Word of God this morning. And so Jesus stands up and he reads this scroll, this book of the prophet Isaiah. And I'm interested in what he says. The Bible said that they delivered him to this book. And he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me. Now here it is. There's five things that I want to preach about this morning. I won't be long. Don't panic. But there's five things that I want to show you about the ministry of Jesus. That steal the ministry of Jesus. There's a lot of people confused about Jesus. Matter of fact, if you took a poll in America, they'd tell you there are many ways to heaven. The Bible says there's one way to heaven. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. Now the ministry of Jesus and the ministry that still is. What's His ministry? What is Jesus about? Why did Jesus come here? What's Jesus doing? What does Jesus want to do? He tells it in five statements. They're real short. But I wish you'd underline it and watch this now. First of all, he said the Spirit of the Lord in verse 18 is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That's number one. Then secondly, he said, He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Then number three, he said, to preach deliverance to the captives. Number four, recovering of the sight of the blind. And number five, and lastly, to set at liberty them that are bruised. This statement is not where the Lord is reading from in Isaiah 61. It's later in Isaiah's book. But the Lord added this when He said, I've come simply to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now, let's take the first one. I'll be real quick. Watch your Bible. Preach the gospel to the poor. Why would Jesus say that? Because He can relate to us that are poor. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and in verse number 9, Jesus said something in His preaching. Here, He says, for we know, Paul is writing, we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch. Though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Jesus relates to the poor. You may be here today and have nothing. You're a great candidate for salvation. You see, money's not bad. It's just bad when money has us. And one reason America's so far away from God, because America is so blessed. They think they don't need God. The Laodicean church age was caught up in this material things. They have need of nothing. But honey, I come to tell you, there's everybody in the building this morning needs the Lord. So so his first statement, he says, I want you to know I can relate to you being poor. I've come to preach the gospel to you. See, even though you might not have much in this old worldly's treasures, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, you've got what money cannot buy. And let me ask y'all something. I believe in having vision. I believe in having goals and enjoying life. I've worked hard in my life. But I want to tell you this. Whenever I kick out of here, there ain't no U-Haul behind my casket. Only what I've got in here, and as Brother Conrad taught last night, only what I've sent ahead is what I'll have. So Jesus relates to us, the poor and the needy. Number two, he said, I've come to preach the gospel to the poor. But secondly, I want to say, he preaches the gospel to the poor because he relates. He relates. I'm glad God can relate to where we are today. Can you imagine this? He lived in heaven. He left heaven and was born in this world. That's mind-boggling. Born of a virgin. Born in a lowly stable and walked these dusty roads and hills of Galilee. Yet he was rich. He became poor for me and you. He had everything and he left everything to come and die on the cross to simply, for one reason, to satisfy his Father. Our works can't get us to heaven. Our treasures can't get us there. Only God's Son. And even though he was rich, he became poor for you. And I want to say, in this ministry of Jesus, he relates to our situation. Number two, not only preach the gospel, but look in your Bible, to heal the brokenhearted. His ministry not only relates, but his ministry revives. Have you ever been brokenhearted? Have there ever been anybody that's broke your heart? Has there ever been a situation that has broke your heart? A lot of us are getting older. Our parents are crossing. Those times, those direct things that God allows to come in our life, it'll break our heart. Your children will break your heart. I know none of yours will, but mine will. Your grandchildren will break your heart. Your friends, your acquaintances. And let me tell you something else about you. You will break your heart. So Jesus said, not only does he relate, but Jesus revives. He came to heal the brokenhearted. That's a process, isn't it? I hear a lot of people saying, well, you just need to move on, but sometimes it's hard to move on. There's a process. They cut me deep December the 5th. I've got a scar there. Brother Lee, time has helped that. But I can still look in the mirror and see that scar. It was a deep cut. I wasn't at church next Sunday because it was deep. And some of you have been cut very deep, but I got good news for you. Jesus is in the reviving business. Jesus can fix your broken heart. There's nobody here that their heart can't be broke. I'm glad we've got a Jesus that not only relates to our situation, but he revives us in our situation. Matter of fact, he said in Hebrews 4 and 14, this is amazing about our God that no other God can say or do. We go and eat Chinese sometime. They got their little gold, bald-headed, pot-belly-looking fella up on the stove, and they worshiping him. But that little gold idol can't relate to what I'm fixing to read to you this morning. You see, in Hebrews 4 and verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest. Oh, Jesus is so good. That's passed into the heavens. Where did Jesus go when he got out of the grave? He's on the right hand side of the Father. He's in the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not. In other words, he says, we don't have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In other words, he said, I feel what you're going through. Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine a God that can feel every one of our broken hearts this morning? In every situation, God feels where we are. You know, this is something I want to say too about friends. I've heard people say, I've been there. No, you ain't. You ain't never been where I've been. Ain't never one of you. Ain't nobody can walk up to a casket and say, I know how you feel. That's crazy. We're individuals. Somebody's done you wrong. Somebody's left you. Don't walk up and say, I know how you feel. You don't know how they feel. But let me tell you one that knows how you feel. Now we can say, I've been in similar situations. And many of us have. But I'm going to be your pastor and teach you what's right. You don't know where everybody else is sitting. My daddy had a saying in Tennessee. I believe it with all my heart. I go to heaven, but boy, everybody knows how to handle the batter they get a hold of him. But Jesus says, I know how every one of you feel. Isn't that amazing? And so here we find out, he says, with the feeling in our infirmities, but in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, the church, not the world, he ain't talking to the world. The world can't talk to him. Do you hear your preacher this morning? If you don't know Christ, you can't talk to God. Jesus is the intercessor. When we got saved by faith, we reached and grabbed hold of Christ. Christ grabbed hold of us and He reached up to the Father and He brought us to Him. Because what Jesus done for us on Calvary. And therefore, He says, look, let us. Let us. Therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace. Time out, religious people. People run to the altar and pray. And you got an issue with it, honey. What you need to do is put your head in the altar and rise. You need a God to help you in your situation. Shame on you. Shame on you. If you'd ever say they're getting what they deserve, what does me and you deserve? If it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all be in hell this morning. So let us come boldly to the throne of grace. You know what that means? It means I simply run to Christ. You say, I can't do this. But you said in your word, you can feel what I'm going through. And God, if you can feel it, that means that I just ain't feeling it by myself. I'm glad He's the burden bearer this morning. Matter of fact, I'm fixing to give an altar call. I want Miss Emily to come. I ain't even going to preach the rest of it. I'm going to preach the rest of it tonight, if the Lord let me. God wants me done right now preaching. I'm fixing to mind Him. And I want to say this morning. The ministry of Jesus, He can relate. I'm glad I've got a God that can relate to me. You ever try to talk to some of my best friends of my life's here? I mean, I can tell. I love these rednecks I pastor. You can just tell them anything. Sometimes they look at you like, you know why? They can't relate to me. Let me tell you, God can relate to you this morning. The God that hung on the cross and knows everything about us. And a lot of times we get lost in religion. I'm going to tell you, God's put something in me in this text this morning. God may have just rearranged my whole ministry But what I seen yesterday in this text, a lot of times we're looking for people to get us better, and people do help us. Thank God for free. Thank God for free. Hey, I will tell you this morning. Just reach out. Reach out and just make eye contact with. Just let somebody know I'm here this morning. Look out beside it. Shake your little baby's head up now. He's exactly right. I'll help you all I can. But honey, let me tell you, there's nobody can help us like Jesus can. He's the one we're to go to. Thank God, Brother Mike, we've got each other. Brother Mike, I've called you in that back room sometimes and said, Do you think I'm going to make it? He looked at me like, well, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? There's been times he could relate to me. Brother Phil, there's times you can relate to me and I can relate to you, but there's times we can't. But God can relate to us. He knows what's going on in our hearts and our homes, our lives, our situations. And we would come in focused upon Christ and realize Christ is our everything. Thank God for singing. But it's Christ. Thank God for mom and daddy. Megan may say, I'm glad you got a mom and daddy that's there for you. Sophie, Parker, Libby, Roni. I'm glad you've got a pop and a Mimi that's there. But what happens when we go to heaven? You better learn Christ can relate. And secondly, you need to learn Christ can revive. He came to heal the brokenhearted. Your heart ever been broke? I'm glad this verse is in the Bible. We've used it a lot, but I think we become so accustomed to it, but it is so powerful. One verse in Matthew 11. I'm going to open these altars up in this church this morning. If you have a need, I want you to bring it to me. This is what Jesus said. Come unto me, all ye that labor. Laboring with things and are heavy laden. Now it's got on top of you. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly. I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Hey, lost person, Jesus loves you. He died for you. You can be saved this morning. Ma'am, you can be saved if you'd trust Christ as your Savior. Sir, you can have a peace that passes all understanding. All your sin could be gone if you'd trust Jesus this morning. Mom and Daddy, you that are so labored and heavy laden down. Not only does Jesus relate, but Jesus revives. He came to heal the brokenhearted. I've been accused so many times by religious people of the area because I won't jump in their little box of religion. Religion will let you die and go to hell. Jesus can fix your situation.